We're going to be in all these passages right here today. So if you have your Bibles, you can pull them out and begin to go to Acts 4 through 5. But as we do that, I want you to reflect a little bit with me this morning. I want you to think back to 2020 January. January of 2020. And as you do that, I want you to think about what you were doing. What was happening at that time in your life? What was going on? And I did that this week as I was going through this process, thinking about what God had asked me to speak about this morning. And as I did, I pulled out my planner. And I have, for all my technology, I still love a planner, a pencil and paper planner. And so I write stuff down in there that I can go back and refer to. And so I looked through that, and the first Sunday in January last year, we had a baptism here. And then beyond that, you realize that this Sunday last year we had a blizzard. And the only reason I know that is because I wrote in there that there was no services this week. Okay, so I didn't preach this Sunday. So I wrote it down because I wanted to remember, okay? And at home, I was working on taxes. Anybody else doing that right now? Working on, oh yeah, grumble, grumble. Working on taxes. And, you know, as you think back to that January, it was kind of a normal year. Now, some of the things that were going on was there was a little bit of political climate that was starting to develop in our country at that point. I mean, it had been going on for a long time, but everybody knew that in 11 months from that date, we were going to be having elections. And, you know, those people who were pro-Trumpers were talking about that, and those people who were pro-Biden were talking. Actually, he wasn't. It was a bunch of people who were running at that point for the Democratic position, you know. And so we had that going on in the country, and nobody had ever heard of the coronavirus. Well, we had heard about it. Something was going on in California, maybe, or it was in China, or it was someplace else, but it had not affected us in January. And so we went into January, we went into the new year thinking it's going to be just like every other year we've ever had. How sad we were when this little baby right here hit us in about March. March 16th, to be exact. Okay, on the 17th, we had service here on the 16th, and on the 17th, the governor came out and said, we're shutting down everything. I mean, the country literally shut down in March. And for 8 weeks after that, we didn't have services in this facility. 8 long weeks. We were all quarantined. We're out of here. We gathered as best we could through the virtual use of video through that time. But this was a long time, and it started to create something in our world, okay? There were things that were becoming understandable in our time, and we started to understand that before that, it was really easy to have faith. In January, no, Lord's going to be good to us all year. And by the time we hit March, there was a little bit of fear creeping in, and by the time we hit 8 weeks into that March, we had a lot of fear. Fear of what this thing was, fear of what was going to happen to us, and the faith, we were fighting a battle of faith and fear. At that time. Now, this message is not about faith and fear, but I do want you to feel a little bit of something this morning. I want you to feel a little bit of fear. Okay? And so we moved from there into, in March, we moved into the summer months, and they were kind of even, you know, they were not totally upheaval. They had a little more freedom for people. And then we moved into the political climate. And you know, what was going on is there was this, the pro-Trumpers and the pro-Biden We're going at each other, and if you listen, depending on who you listen to, the world was going to end, or the world was going to be really, really good, depending on which side you were on. And as we went into the election and post-election, and you know all this stuff, you know how fearful we could become during those times. In fact, just want to say, you know what? Many people thought that Trump would have a second term. And but now we have President Joe Biden. He is our president. And there's people who think that's the greatest thing in the world, and there's people that think that's the most worst president we'll ever have in our history of our nation. You know what? In 2020, January, we didn't know what was going to happen. In 2021, January, we still don't know what's going to happen, folks. Okay, just put it in perspective, okay? Put it in perspective this morning, because we don't know what's going to happen. Now, I will say that related to our present administration, and this is related to the church, okay, that I believe that this present administration will promote abortion, will promote LGBT rules, and they will be anti-Israel. Okay, I just believe that. I also believe that in this next year and the next 4 years, you're going to see pressure upon Christians and upon churches to go against their consciences and to go against their biblical values. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to go into persecution, but I think that could happen, okay? But I think that's going to happen in this time frame. I think the liberal agenda of the left through our president, President Nye, right now, and his administration is going to move as far left as they can possibly go without any other constraints upon them put upon them by the Congress. Now, I want you to feel that a little bit. I want you to feel that fear that we could enter something this year that's going to be something we'll never come back from. And yet at the same time, I want you to understand that there's a statement of faith here also that says, you know what, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what God's going to do. We have no idea. So I want you to feel that tension right now, because this is no new thing. Please understand this. This is not something new. We have lived under a bubble in the United States for many years. Okay, we've been living in a bubble. And the bubble is, it's all been good, you know? Even when we had a bad president, they didn't attack the church. They didn't come after us. Yeah, we may have paid a little more taxes. We may have had to do a few different things. But the point is, this is not something new, because if you go clear back to the time where Adam and Eve lived on this earth and Satan tempted Eve, and what happened? She turned against God, and we entered into a time of sin. And then if you just go to the time of the first church, okay, the early church, was the government pro-church or anti-church? Which was it? No, it's not pro at all. It's anti-church. Okay? They suffered under persecution. And let me give you a perspective on this. The persecution began about 90, maybe a little bit 80 AD, maybe 90 AD, and it continued until 300 AD. Now that's two decades, that's two centuries that they suffered under persecution. But what happened during that time? The church grew exponentially all the way. So I want to take you this morning through a couple of stories to the first courageous Christ followers we find in our Bible, okay? Because the best way to find faith is to go to the testimony of those who suffered under the fear and found faith to be a great thing for them. And so this is the story of Peter and John. And you know that Peter before was just a guy who could stick his foot in his mouth really fast, you know. And then the Holy Spirit came upon him and Peter became a preacher. But a preacher who preached by the power of the Holy Spirit in him. And you realize that the first sermon he preached was on the day of Pentecost, and there were 3,000 souls that were saved on that day. Amen. To be a preacher that 3,000 souls were saved, it's not in him, it was in the power of the Holy Spirit that it happened. And then the second sermon he gave, which is in chapter 3, I believe, 5,000 more people came to Christ as a result of that sermon. But that one had something in it that was really powerful, and that was right before that sermon, he had healed a crippled man, a man who had been crippled for 40 years. Everybody knew this guy because he was always begging for help, okay? But he had been crippled 40 years, couldn't get around, couldn't do what he had to do. And so Peter looks at him, and he's healed, and all of a sudden the crowds gather around him, and so he preaches this sermon, and 5,000 people look at that man, look at what Peter had done, understand it was God who healed this man, and they turn to the Jesus Christ that Peter was proclaiming. And instantly, the religious leaders who were in opposition to Peter and John and the disciples came and arrested them. Now, we haven't seen much of that in our world, on this half of the world. okay? But in other parts of our world, the last century had been the greatest martyrdom of our world, and this century is going on increasing in that area. The persecution in other parts of our world is great. And so these guys were the first ones that started to get persecuted. And you know, they go into these men, who these religious leaders, these leaders of this nation of Israel, and they tell them, "You can't talk in the name of Jesus anymore." And this is what they says to them in Acts 4:19. "Do you think that God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." We cannot stop doing what God has asked us to do. So they go back out, and it says that when they went back to their people, they told the church. Now, this is 8,000 people. Now, I don't know if they're all gathered together. We don't know exactly how, but I'm sure the word spread to all of them, that as they gathered together, they said this, they prayed this prayer to God. And when they heard this report, all the believers lifted up their voices together in prayer to God. "O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestors David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry and why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and his anointed messengers." In fact, this happened here in this very city, for the Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, and the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. Talk about persecution by the one that we follow. They came after him, after Jesus, with a vengeance. And they took his life. They nailed him to a cross, the very thing we venerate back here. This cross was death. It wasn't a nice, fuzzy feeling religious symbol. It didn't hang it around your neck. When you had a cross, you were going to go to the. You were going to be killed. Okay. Notice what it says at the end. "But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. Your will. Nothing happens in this world without God knowing and putting it into place. It is his will." The story goes on in chapter 5 that they are arrested again, taught before the chief priests and these religious leaders, and they are thinking about how to kill him. And one man, Gamaliel, comes up and he stands before them and he says these simple words. "And you can do what you want with these men, but if what they are doing is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourself fighting against God." Listen carefully. Little side note here. Be careful what you do right now. Because the President of the United States and his Vice President and the Congress and the Senate have been placed in those places by the will of God. Now we say, well, it wasn't fair. Well, maybe it was and maybe it wasn't. But they're there. And it's the will of God that they're there. And you can fight against it all you want, but you may find yourself fighting against the will of God. I'm not saying you shouldn't voice your opinion. I'm not saying you shouldn't stand up for what you believe. I'm not saying any of that. But what I'm saying is, be careful what you post on social media. Be careful what you say. Because you may be pushing right against the very voice of God like these men would. These were religious men. They thought that they were doing God a service. And Gamaliel says, be careful. Be careful. Seek God before you do anything. Pray about what you're saying. Pray about what you're posting. Pray about what you're doing in this time. And you're going to see why this is important as we go along here. This is an important point. Gamaliel is a religious leader, and I don't think he's a believer in Christ at all at this point. But he understood what was going on. You see, all this is because of this very statement right here. God is sovereign. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. He is sovereign. That means he is above every power and every king. He puts people into positions and he removes them. He moves the kings like a river flows. He can change the course of a stream. He can change the course of a king or a president or a country. But if we are coming close to an end of times, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, perhaps all these things were necessary. Perhaps the church needs to be purified. Perhaps the church needs to be purified. See, God is sovereign, and he wants a church that will follow him wholeheartedly. There's plenty of people in churches today who go because it's the thing to do, not because they love the one they serve. You see, the disciples, we're going to go backwards in this time. We're going to go to the book of Luke. The disciples are talking to Jesus. This is before he goes to the cross. And in this particular passage in chapter 21, it says, some of his disciples began talking about the majestic stonework of the temple and the memorial decorations on its walls. Now, they considered the temple to be this really sacred place. This was the home of God. This is where God supposedly resided, but at this time, he no longer resided there because he left the temple clear back in Ezekiel time. But they thought it was a great place. Like we would go to Washington, D.C., or we'd go to some great building of that was a church, and we'd say, "Wow, isn't that a magnificent facility?" Okay, yeah, that's great. But Jesus says the time is coming when all these things will be completely demolished, and not one stone will be left upon the top of another. He says it's going to all come down. It's coming down. This religious building that was put here for my Father, for me, and the worship of God the Father, the Holy God, is coming down. Now, why would God do such a thing? Sounds crazy. But he says that's what's going to happen. Teacher, they asked, when will all these things happen? What is the sign that will show us these things are about to take place? He replied, don't let anyone mislead you. Notice he says, you can be deceived. Don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming that I am the Messiah and saying, the time has come, but don't believe them. And when you hear wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately. And then he said, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes and there will be famines and plagues in the land, and there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven. Now, I know that people have said, well, that's all happening. Okay? We see those things. But verse 12 has this little word in front of it. It says, but. Sometimes the most important word in the whole of the scripture. But. Before all this occurs. Before all this occurs. There will be a time of great persecution. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons, and you will stand trial before kings and governors because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry in advance about how you will answer the charges against you, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. But before this time occurs, a great persecution will come. A great persecution. Now, nobody wants to hear this. In fact, nobody wants to preach this. I don't even like talking about this. But this is what the scripture says. It says, persecution is our opportunity to witness for Jesus. Persecution is going to come. Now, you can say, well, they had a persecution from, you know, for 2 centuries. Yeah, that was a great persecution. It was. But Jesus didn't come. So that must not be the persecution he's talking about here, because he has not yet come. And we have seen all those other things, and they are on the increase. They are on the increase. But we have not yet seen a great persecution in this country. But it could be coming. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying that that is what has to happen before we move into the time when Jesus will come again. There needs to be a persecution. Before all this occurs, there will be a great time of persecution, but this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. You see, this is the statement that really is the basis for the difference between faith and fear. You see, sharing the gospel is God's priority. The number one thing that he thinks about is sharing the good news that Jesus died for your sin to give you eternal life and a relationship with him in heaven. That is what he says is most important. Now, we don't see that in these verses. We see it that he will give you an opportunity. So persecution is just an opportunity to share your story. No, I will not do what you want me to do, and because I am a follower of Christ. Well, so what? Well, so what? He is the King of Kings, and you will stand before him yourself. You know, I don't know what you're going to say, but it says you don't have to plan what you're going to say. What does it say there? He says he will give you the words to say, and they will not be able to refute what you say. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. In other words, the courage that you see in those first century disciples was from the Holy Spirit. The courage for us when we face persecution is from the Holy Spirit who's within us, not from our own capacity. For you and I both know that none of us have the capacity to stand in the face of hard persecution. It will be the power of the Spirit of God and your conscious decision, I will do this for you, Lord. It will stand for you. You see, sharing the gospel is his priority. And now I want you to turn to the book of 1 Timothy. Because in 1 Timothy, it really gives us our responsibilities as a church. Now, understanding that 1 Timothy was written by Paul, who was at this time sitting in a Roman prison under persecution for the things that he has said. So he is in the midst of it. He is in the middle of persecution. And Timothy is in Ephesus, being a pastor there, and he also is being persecuted. And Paul tells him, fight the good fight, Timothy. Stand up for what you believe. Do what you know it is to do. So that's the context. And then chapter 2, verse 1 says, I urge you also, now he doesn't put the also, that's mine. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. That includes those who are persecuting you, by the way. Those who are your supposed enemies. They're not your enemy, by the way. People are never our enemies. It's the person behind them that is the enemy. Satan himself. And it says, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that you can live peaceful and quiet lives marked with godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. He came, he gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world just at the right time. You can see it, can't you? The priority of God's gospel. The priority of Jesus Christ in the Father's eyes. People need to hear. People need to hear about it. So, when you think about this, you think about what he says there. We're to pray for people. What are we supposed to pray for them? We're supposed to pray and ask God to help them. Now, I understand this is a thought process of this translation. It's not the same in every translation, okay? But I think it's a pretty good thought. It's a pretty good way of playing for God. Ask God to help the people that are around you, even those who oppose you, who you struggle with. Ask God to help them. Why? Because when they find that you've been praying for them and that things are going better for them, they're going to say, well, why would you do such a thing for me? You don't like me. We don't get along. Well, I want you to know that Jesus died for your sins. Well, I don't want to know that stuff. But you know what? It may be the one seed they get in their life, and that seed will take fruition when they are on their deathbed and they turn to God in their deathbed because of your comment to them that said, I love you, God loves you, let's live in peace. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Why would you give thanks for somebody? So, I'm just going to read into this a little bit. I'm just going to say what I think. I think Paul is saying to them, I want you to pray for all people, including those who are persecuting you in the church, and I want you to give thanks to God for them. And then he says, I want you to pray for kings. And what are you supposed to pray for the kings? Same thing. Pray that God would help them. Pray that God would intercede, that you would intercede on their behalf. What's that intercede mean? That means pray that they would come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, that their eyes would be open so they can see the gift that God is offering them, the faith that allows them to believe. That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and respect. Why? Because God wants everyone to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know what? We now live in a country that is not going to be pro-Christian. It's been changing for a long time, by the way, folks. You haven't noticed that. It just happened to now have an administration that is in agreement with the basic parts of the culture that move that direction. And even though someone may say that they're a religious person, does not mean they're a religious person. Just understand that. But we are still supposed to pray. Supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to intercede for them. We're supposed to ask God to help them. We're supposed to pray and thank God for them. Wow. That's going to be hard for some of us, isn't it? It's the will of God. And if you choose to go against it, then you might be fighting against God himself. So as we look into 2021, we're in January. And like we looked at in 2020, we say, so what's the rest of this year going to bring? Anybody have a globe? They want to check it out? Give us a prophecy? I heard plenty of prophecies this last year that didn't come true. Be careful who you listen to. Be really careful who you listen to. If they're not coming from the Word of God, it's questionable of their integrity. 2021, what do we need to be doing? We need to be praying for people that they would come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, the priority of the gospel. We need to pray for our kings, our leaders. We need to pray for them. We need to thank God for them. We need to let them know that we're praying for them. And we're praying that they'll come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Maybe we need to send some letters that direction. I don't know. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying, looks to me like God is saying that we need to do what is right before our governors and our presidents and our administrations that don't necessarily agree with where we're at. But we can say, I will pray for you and I will thank God for you and I will ask God to bless you. Now, if you choose to turn away from that, that's your business. But we need to pray. So I want to close this morning, at least the message time, with time of prayer. So we're going to pray for our government this morning. Father God, we pray for our elected officials. I want to begin with President Joe Biden and Vice President Harris. I want to pray and ask that you would help them, God, to see what is right and true and pursue that. I want to pray, Father, that you would open their eyes to the message of the gospel. And that through whatever means, you would give them opportunity, if they not had it already, to believe that you are the Son of God who died for their sins and that you are in relationship with them because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that they would move toward that which is right and righteous, away from the killing of the unborn, away from the LGBT movement, which is anti-Christian, away from opposing Israel to embracing Israel. Lord, I pray these things, but I also pray your will, asking that you would have your way in these things. Father, I pray for our Senate and our Congress, asking that you would move these men and these women to righteousness and the things that are valuable. But Father, we also ask that you would open their eyes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that in these times, these difficult times, the church would get on its knees and it would pray. And Lord, I pray also for the people that are around us, that you would give us courage to share our story, the simplicity of our story, that I trusted Christ to pay the penalty for my sins. Lord, give us opportunity. And when we do, would you open the eyes of those who do not believe and give them the faith to believe, that they may choose you over the darkness, the kingdom of darkness. Lord, I pray that as we look forward, and we cannot see the future, Father, we don't know the future. Thank the Lord, we don't know the future. But Lord, if you've prepared a great persecution for us, then Lord, prepare us for that time. And if you've prepared the opportunities of gospel witness, give us courage to speak what we know to be true. And Lord, give us the capacity to know the difference between that which is a lie wrapped in truth and that which is absolute truth. I pray that you would keep us from being deceived. You'd keep us from following after that which is only half truth. Lord, to follow after you only. And in our spirits, Lord, would you just convict us, and would you put a check on our spirit when there's something wrong, and help us to know what it is as we seek you. Father, make us to seek you as a church above all things, that the priority of the gospel may be the number one thing that is on our mind. Not fear, not faith, but trust in you, Lord. And how can we share that with the people that are around us? Give us opportunity, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray.